Bravd looked at the weasel and raised his eyebrows. "And that's it," said Rincewind. "The luggage caught up with us, don't ask me how. Is there any more wine?" The weasel picked up the empty wineskin.
"I think you've just about had enough wine this night," he said.
Bravd's forehead wrinkled. "Gold is gold," he said finally. "How can a man with plenty of gold consider himself poor? You're either poor or you're rich. It stands to reason." Rincewind hiccuped. He was finding reason rather difficult to hold on to. "Well," he said, "what I think is, the point is, well, you know Octiron?" The two adventurers nodded. The strange iridescent metal was almost as highly valued in the lands around the Circle Sea as sapient pearwood, and was about as rare. A man who owned a needle made of Octiron would never lose his way, since it always pointed to the hub of the Discworld. Being acutely sensitive to the disc's magical field, it would also miraculously darn his socks. "Well, my point is, you see, that gold also has its sort of magical field, sort of financial wizardry. Eco-gnomics." Rincewind giggled. The weasel stood up and stretched. The sun was well up now, and the city below them was wreathed in mists and full of foul vapours. "Also gold," he decided. "Even a citizen of Moorpork would, at the very point of death, desert his treasure to save his skin. Time to move." The little man called Twoflower appeared to be asleep. The weasel looked down at him and shook his head.
"The city awaits, such as it is," he said. "Thank you for a pleasant tale, wizard. What will you do now?"
He eyed the luggage, which immediately backed away and snapped its lid at him. "Well, there are no ships leaving the city now," giggled Rincewind. "I suppose we'll take the coast road to Churm. I've got to look after him, you see. But look, I didn't make it up."
"Sure, sure," said the weasel soothingly.
He turned away and swung himself into the saddle of the horse that Bravd was holding. A few moments later, the two heroes were just specks under a cloud of dust, heading down towards the charcoal city. Rincewind stared muzzily at the recumbent tourist. At two recumbent tourists. In his somewhat defenceless state, a stray thought, wandering through the dimensions in search of a mind to harbour it, slid into his brain. "Here's another fine mess you've got me into," he moaned, and slumped backwards.
"Mad,"
said the weasel. Bravd, galloping along a few feet away, nodded.
"All wizards get like that," he said. "It's the quicksilver fumes, rots their brains. Mushrooms, too."
"However,"
said the brown-clad one. He reached into his tunic and took out a golden disc on a short chain. Bravd raised his eyebrows.
"The wizard said that the little man had some sort of golden disc that told him the time," said the weasel.
"Arousing your cupidity, little friend? You always were an expert thief, weasel."
"Aye,"
agreed the weasel modestly. He touched the knob at the disc's rim. It flipped open. The very small demon imprisoned within looked up from its tiny abacus and scowled.
"It lacks but 10 minutes to 8 o'clock,
it snarled. The lid slammed shut, almost trapping the weasel's fingers. With an oath, the weasel hurled the time-teller far out into the heather, where it possibly hit a stone. Something, in any event, caused the case to split. There was a vivid octarine flash and a whiff of brimstone as the time-being vanished into whatever demonic dimension it called home.
"What did you do that for?"
said Bravd, who hadn't been close enough to hear the words.
"Do what?" said the weasel. "I didn't do anything. Nothing happened at all. Come on, we're wasting opportunities."
Bravd nodded. Together they turned their steeds and galloped towards ancient Ankh and honest enchantments.
The Sending of Eight. Prologue. The Discworld offers sights far more impressive than those found in universes built by creators with less imagination, but more mechanical aptitude. Although the disc's sun is but an orbiting moonlet, its prominence is hardly bigger than croquet hoops, this slight drawback must be set against the tremendous sight of great Artuin the Turtle, upon whose ancient and meteor-riddled shell the disc ultimately rests. Sometimes, in his slow journey across the shores of infinity, he moves his country-sized head to snap at a passing comet. But perhaps the most impressive sight of all, if only because most brains, when faced with the sheer galactic enormity,